You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 5. 1 Kings 5. And I want to say I'm so very grateful for our listeners that listen on the radio tonight around the globe and watch online. And, you know, I wish you could all come here. Maybe you could come Pastor's Conference, March the 2nd through the 5th. It's our 40th annual conference. It's a big homecoming reunion. But we just happen to feel like there's no place like this place. No choir like this choir, orchestra, and God's people in this area, all that God's doing. God's put us in a lighthouse right here. And there's four Baptist churches in our city. One, I don't know where they meet. I think there's seven people that go to that church for decades. And then one is not even called Baptist now, but I guess it is a Baptist church. And then there's another one, and then this one. And we have 150,000 people, and I go all across the country and preach, and it seems like there's a Baptist church on every corner. And maybe we love church so much because we don't have that opportunity to have them on every corner. And I'm so grateful for the fact that God's people have been so good about all. I'll get to the scripture. We've been working for a couple years now on the 50th anniversary, July the 13th, 2025. And that day is going to be a wonderful day. And leading up to it, January 1st, it's going to be great all next year. 50 years and celebrating the Jubilee year, what God has done for us. And I already have songs I've written down. I know Brother Romero is the same. I know the very first opener song that I want you to sing on that 50th day. And it's going to be exciting. And we're going to sing several songs. I'm going to have that choir sing, sing, sing. And we'll run the buses on Saturday. And it's just going to be a wonderful day. But from now to then, let's occupy till he comes. Let me bow to prayer with you. Father, I thank you for this text. Got on my own personal Bible reading not long ago. And it's been such a help to me. And I pray that tonight this will be a help to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three chapters. Chapter 5, where you are, 1 Kings 5, 5, 6, and 7. They explain the building of the house of God. If you have time this week, I'd like you to take time to mark some things I may mention in just a moment. It's a tremendous text. Everybody needs a house of God. Everybody needs a place to worship God. You worship God at home, and we can worship God in the mountains, but God sent his son, Jesus, and he gave his life for the church. So we cannot be careless with the church. To be careless with the church is to be careless with Christ. And tonight, if you'll bear with me a long introduction and a short message, and I'll get you to some other scripture to reinforce these three chapters. I want you to look at verse 1. And Hiram, chapter 5, verse 1, Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. Hiram was what you call the New Testament unsaved man. He was a heathen, but he loved David. He had respect for David. Verse 5, and behold, Solomon said, I purpose to build a house to the name of my Lord, my God. The Lord spake to David, my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build the house in my name. And when parents, when things are disappointing, when things don't fall the way you wanted them to fall in your life, maybe God wants them to fall your children. I know a man that became very envious because he was out to build a great church and his son built a bigger one and a better one. I hope my son and my sons out pastor me in every area. That's my goal. All you boys, whatever that means, it might be you're in a little rural area and just producing missionaries out of your church or prayer warriors out of your church. And it may not be numbers, but it may be that God's going to use that church to have a great reach to the world. And so he said, David, look at what he says in verse 8. And Hiram sent Solomon saying, I've considered the things which thou sentest for me, and I will do all the desire concerning the timbers of cedar and the timbers of fir. So Solomon had asked him in this chapter, I need wood. I'm going to build this house. I need cedar. I need fir. In fact, he's going to need palm trees. He's going to need all these different things. And he's going to need olive trees. And he's going to ask people to give to this project. I want you to notice with me in verse number 10. So Hiram gave Solomon cedar trees and fir trees according to his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food for his household and 20 measures of pure oil. Thus Solomon to Hiram year by year. Now notice in chapter number 6, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 408th year of the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel in the month of Zeph, and that's May, the month of May, which is the second month, he began to build the house of God. Now notice, if you will, in his building is chapter number 5, 6, and 7. Let me give you some things that you're going to find if you mark your Bible. I've marked my Bible in orange in these three chapters. All the time it says the house, the house, the house. 57 times in these three chapters he talks about the house of God. The house of God ought to always be important. Please do not ever attack the house of God, the people of God, the Sunday school teachers, the staff. Please be very careful. You are creating an environment in your kids' heart that they'll be critical in life. And when you're critical about the things of God, you'll be critical about everything in life, your marriage, your home, your family, your relatives, your job. That's just a way of life. Right living needs to begin in the house of God. And that carries on through. And in this chapter, not only does he mention the house of God 57 times, he mentions 19 times work. It's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done. And he tells us in this text that he spent a total of 20 years, 13 years building his own house, but first 7 years building the house of God. We'll see tonight that Solomon hired 30,000 men to build the house of God. As they built the house of God in this text, 10,000 worked for 1 month. And then the next crew came in, 10,000 men, and the next crew. He said, I don't want any hammer at the house of God. I don't want any chiseling. All the stones, and he talks about the stones so often, they're all chiseled and carved off site and then brought in to this sacred place. A lot of effort went in. This week, if you have time, I marked things in yellow that were all involved in the house of God. Brass, silver, gold. Listen to this. He talks about, this is amazing when he talks about all this. Shovels and lavers and bowls and spoons and bases, basins and lamps and flowers and clay and snuffers and plates and knobs and the ark and cherubim. And he talked about olive trees, fir trees, palm trees, cedar trees, stones, pillars, doors. He talks in these three chapters of posts and windows and saws. What kind of saws to use? He talks about hinges and floors and ceilings and the roof and the tools and the porch and the walls and the foundation and the court and the winding stairs. He actually says winding stairs 220 times. In three chapters, he talks about all those things. You know, he's showing us that everything's important to God. Spoons, bowls, snuffers. He talks about candles and candlesticks. And I've marked them all in yellow. Maybe you'll want to do the same this week, because it's overwhelming how God is so much into details. And he told Solomon all these things. And David told Solomon before his death. And consequently, it was very important. This place is important to God. This place is important to God from now to the election. And whatever happens on that Tuesday of the election is still making this church important. Whoever gets in or whoever doesn't get in, this church is always going to be important to God. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. God's going to see to it. Everything's all right. You say, well, what if they martyr us for the Christian faith? Well, we go from this place to that place. I'm not trying to get us all alarmed today. The temple was such a beautiful place. It measured, it really wasn't big. It was 60 feet wide by 125 deep. I would imagine if I was going to tape it off from that wall out here a little bit, it's about 60 some feet and 120. This is 100 from that door to that door is 154 feet. So it's a little smaller than these sections right here. This is more than half the length of a football field. Then you'll add the hallways and it's more than half the length of a football field again. In the same way, this direction. And so it's only 60 by 20. But on the backside of the temple, they put a three-story building. And there are rooms there and things of that nature. The porch that they put, Brother Flood, was amazing. The porch was as big as the building. The porch was 60 feet wide by 120 feet long, a beautiful porch. And they had fellowships out there and senior cafes. I don't know what they all had, but they had something out there. Do you know, in chapter number 6 and verse 38, look what it says in 6:38. The Bible says, and in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, the house was finished. So he had 7 years building it, chapter 7, verse 1. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished it. And they went. He built also the house in the forest of Lebanon. He spent so much time. Now, man, I'm going to give you a scripture with this text I want you to read. Yours is an easy one because it's in the New Testament. It's 1 Corinthians. Would you turn there, men? I'm going to give you. Now, ladies, I'm going to give you yours, but it's really easy to find. It's just the next book after Proverbs. Find Ecclesiastes, please, ladies, if you will. Ecclesiastes. And as you turn there, I'll also turn there to the men's verse. Now, men, ladies always read better than men. All God's women said, amen. And men, we normally cannot stay together. And we mess up very quickly. And I'd like the men to outshine the ladies in the mixing room for the radio and live stream tonight. When the ladies read the verse, turn it down or go up and down or something. But when the men, turn it up so it's great. No, don't touch it. Are you ready? Ladies before gentlemen, Ecclesiastes, ladies. And I'm going to ask you to read chapter 9. Verse number 10, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever, you see it right there. Ladies, and man, if you'll just hum in your wife's ear, try to get her off and read other words and mess them up because the men are going to read better than the ladies tonight. So start, that's it, Brother Kissel. You're doing very well. Get them off base here. Ready, are you ready, girls? Ecclesiastes 9:10, ready, begin. That verse applies to 1 Kings 5, 6, and 7. Whatsoever thy hand doeth all your might. Snuffers are important. Spoons are important. Plates are important. Bowls are important. A widening stair of Christ. So if you're going to do it, you do it with all your might. Ladies, that was an A-plus reading. Now, the boys that are in remedial English tonight. Are you ready, fellas? Yours is an easier verse than theirs. It's less words, less letters. I think you can do a fairly good job. Ladies, try to mess them up, all right? First Corinthians and chapter 10, verse 31, a verse that's very sounding familiar, like the ladies just read. Ready, men? Ready, begin.
Whether therefore you eat or drink,
Do all to the glory of God, everything you do. So if you're building this staircase, do it all to the glory of God. If you're going to the forest in Lebanon and getting the timber, do it all to the glory. If you're over here on another part of the building and you're getting the granite and you're chiseling away at the granite, and you measured it, and you got it placed, and then you and an army of men bring that piece of granite, and you slip it in its spot, and then 10,000 men are working. You've got the next crew coming, and no one's talking, and it's very sacred as you build the house of God. Whatever your hand findeth to do, the lady said, do with all thine heart. And the men, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Tonight, I want to speak for just a few moments now. I promise you don't need to be long. Everything's important to God. Everything's important to God. The people that put the backpacks on, and every day of the week, one, two, three men are blowing off the leaves and the blossoms and making this place. The people that every day vacuum in front of all the buildings, every one of the mats that come into the house of God. The people that sweep the stairs on the outside. The people that turn the wrenches on the buses. The chorale that practices, and the men's five guys that practice, and the orchestra and the special music and the choir and the pianist and the organist and another pianist. It's all, and all the brass and all, it's all important to God. And those ushers and the security and the sound men and the live stream and the nursery workers and the parking lot attendants and everybody that works at planting the flowers or bushes and trimming and cleaning and preparing and cleaning the rest. It's all important to God. And the ladies and men that held the word of God this morning and taught boys and girls and teenagers and men and women and special needs classes. Those people are important to God. And those that go to the 15 to 17 nursing homes and teach and preach the word of God. They're all important to God. And the A Sunday school, the B Sunday school, the D Sunday school, A, B, C, D, all four divisions, they're all important to God. Whatever you do, do it with your might. Let me say a few things at these chapters, because God told us about something that took place for 20 years, and especially the house of God for seven. And those two verses we read, one, find something of value. Find something of value. I thank God for your jobs you have. Your jobs provide a living and income to feed your family, care for your home, and your tithes and offerings. But priority in our life is seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. I am not suggesting that we don't put value on our family. I guess I could best describe it as I look at my prayer journal. In my prayer journal, after I considered my purpose for living, its first thing is that I be a man of God. You say, what about being a husband? That's not first. I want to be a man of God so that I could be a good husband. I'm not talking about being a preacher. I'm not talking about being a pastor. That comes to me after my wife and the family. I'm talking about being a man of God, a man of who tries to invest his life in value and in character and that which is eternal, and that was his purpose. And then if I could be for God what God wants to be, I go through A, B, C, D, E, all the way through the 26 letters of the alphabet, have all these words under A and all these words under B. I want to have a backbone. I want to have a belief. I want to know what I believe and stand for, and I want to be a man who's kind and considerate and thoughtful. All those things. That's a man of God. Amen. But I tell you what, I don't want to be a preacher first. I want to be a man of God. So be a good father, a good husband, a good grandfather, and eventually, well, in my list, a good pastor. It starts by my relationship with God. And tonight I'd suggest that where we spend our attention, it has to be something of value. Don't put your value in something that is going to burn up. Do you realize that everything on this planet Earth, our cars, our houses, our clothes, our lands, our buildings, our properties, everything, it's all going to burn one day. That's why God says, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal and destroy, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. What is the value if you figure out in your life what is value in your life? That's why that bus route is so valuable. And God says, do all to the glory of God. Raising your children is value. Most of you dear sweet ladies are required and you need to help us men with salaries and you work a job. God bless you. But I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just working an extra job to get more things, I would think about chocolate chip cookies, and I'm not trying to be humorous now. The smell of chocolate chip cookies when your kids come home from school. Fresh baked bread, and I know you can probably get it cheaper, but just the smell of rolls that are getting prepared, or chicken that's being in the crock pot, or however you, the fryer thing they have nowadays, whatever it's called. I know most of you cannot be there. I know how it works, and husbands and wives are trying to, I'll get the kids, and I know that. But you, can you imagine your kids coming? I remember when my dad lost his business, my mother had to go to work. We were a little bit older by then. My sisters would get dinner on the going, and mother would come home. It always broke her heart because she always had the house smelling so clean and the oven going and everything cooking, everything prepared. Take time for your children. Mothers, to hear a mother pray with her children. There's something about a woman's voice as she calls out to God for my little boy or my little girl. Mother's voice, I remember as a boy, I used to think her voice changes when she prays. And I'm, again, not trying to be humorous. I love when my wife, I'd hear her pray, maybe family Bible time periodically for the family. A sweet, sweet voice. You grandparents, start praying with your kids this fall. I'm not talking about preaching at them. Oh, bless God, sit down here, need to teach you the Bible. You know, all kids are rebels nowadays. Don't go down. I tell you what, that little boy, that little girl, that teenage boy, that teenage girl has value. Your marriage has value. Your bus ride has value. That Sunday school class has value. Pray over those children and beg God that their mothers and dads would get saved and we can get them to the house of God. I suggest whatever you do, the Bible says, whatsoever you do. Whatsoever means anything. Have too much play. We have too much fun. We have too much party. We have too much world. We have too much of me. Secondly, once you've discovered what's of value, put 100% into it. Chapter 5, 6, and 7. You know, Brother Nate, they put their life into that building. For 7 years, 10,000 men a month. 10,000 men a month. Another 10,000. Three shifts. They put their lives. That means their wives put their lives. That means their kids. That daddy was in the building project. Once every 3 months for a whole month. Not only is that something of value, but you always put 100% into it. Whatsoever your hand, ladies, you read it. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do it, do with all your might. All your might, put effort into it. Saturday night at 10 o'clock and trying to figure out what we're going to teach for Sunday school is not putting your might into it. But Sunday night after church or Sunday afternoon after church or Monday night, begin to ponder your lesson and look at who's been missing and praying over them and making contact and asking God to have you stand before your students ready to go. You put all your might into it. In this text, you'll find the heart, you find the hand, and the head is in it, thinking through, organizing it, planning it. Number three, do it for God. 1 Corinthians 10, man, you read it. Do all, watch it. Do all for the glory of God. I do this for you, God. In my office, I have a beautiful trophy. It's about this tall. It's got a bicycle on it up in the air. Landon was coming to visit us several years ago. I think he was about four. And out over here, I took so many truckloads of stuff to the dump every day when we were building that building. They built a BMX track on top of all that, right across from the 49ers. That's pretty cool. It's got the lights on it, and I rent a bicycle for them, and the guy gave it to me like for $5 for the night. Gave me a special deal. I told my grandson's here from Arizona, four-year-old, and he got one of these racing bikes, and you're up on the hill, and there's something that holds the front wheel in place, and just standing on your, and all of a sudden they said, "Riders, ready, go!" And it drops down, and they take off, and they go up and down around the corner. Landon was four. I'll never forget. He'd never done anything like that. He was fearless, and he came in second place. I didn't know they were going to give a trophy away. And he rode over and he got his trophy. He had his helmet that he borrowed that night. And he rode up. I'll never forget. I know exactly the place where he stopped his bike. You've heard me say this before. He gave me that trophy. He said, "Papa." I looked at him. "Papa, I won this for you." Jerry, that broke my heart. I said, "No, Landon. You take it home and remember this trip here." "No, Papa. I want it for you." I think of the crowns that you people are going to receive one day. I think of the James 1:12. "You that suffer, blessed are he," the Bible says, "that endureth temptation, trials. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." There's the suffering crown. I think of those that suffer in wheelchairs and canes and walkers and sleepless nights and pain and dialysis. You're suffering tonight. Now, if you complain and gripe and have to talk about everything, you've lost the crown. God says you endure it with patience. Just go ahead and take care of it. Always be a happy camper. God has a crown for you. There's so many crowns: the soul winner's crown, the suffering crown, the shepherd's crown. And I don't believe it's just 1 Peter 5:1-4, just the pastor. I think it's Sunday school teachers too. They're shepherds. I think bus workers can get the shepherd's crown. They're shepherds to the flock. I think of the crowns that God has for you and me. There's about five of them. Brother Manor, we're going to take those crowns, Revelation 4:10. In the Bema Seat Judgment, we're going to receive those crowns, not so we walk around heaven with our diadems and crowns. We're going to cast them at the throne of the feet of Jesus and say, "Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and praise and majesty. It's all about you, God." Once you find something of value, put your 100% into it, and then realize certainly that it's for the glory of God. Do everything for God. To God be the glory. That's why I don't want to rush the calendar, but I can hardly wait to recognize God's people together on July the 13th, 2025. What you have allowed God to accomplish, this is the Lord's doing. It's for his glory. It's marvelous in our eyes. And then I think I'll close her down. The scripture says, do all to the glory of God. That means everything's important. It's all important. Everything's important. I think of the martyr's crown. We get to heaven, we're going to meet all those disciples. 11, Judas was replaced, but all those disciples were martyred. Peter said, I'm not worthy to die like Jesus did. They said, well, you're going to go on the cross anyway. He said, crucify me upside down. I think of those disciples where historians tell us that they tied their limbs, their legs to two oxen here and two oxen here that tied their arms. And then they both went separate directions and pulled their limbs right outside of their joints and sockets. I think of those that were burned at the flame. I think of the 600 miles of tunnels under Rome called catacombs, where there's 50 million Christians that died over 1,500 years, the Dark Ages. And they died because they were Christians and would not renounce their faith. Can you imagine, Brother Poussin, when there are 50 million and the computers today said the better estimate may be upwards to 100 million died for Christ. You think of that, and Brother Sly, as we stand in heaven, the Bema Seat Judgment, and we see those who are martyred for the cause of Christ. My goodness. Everything's important to God. Ladies, what you do in that nursery, and those that are in the nursery, you might not be able to watch tonight. There's maybe too many, but you're holding that baby. That little crying baby, that baby's messed itself. But Brother Peter, I've often thought when my pastor called me, I was pastor in this church, and he was over here in Fremont, 15 minutes away, and he said, Jack, son, I've got to talk to you. And I said, about what? He said, I'm going to have to retire, and you're going to be the next pastor here. I'm going to ask the church to vote you. And I said, Pastor, I got my own. He goes, you can do both. Who ever thought, and I became the pastor of both churches, who'd ever think that when I was in the preschool and when I was a little boy, my Sunday school teachers, Mrs. Daniels singing only a book, who'd ever think that she was teaching, she's long gone. And the lady that led me to Christ, Mrs. Morning, she's long gone. But who'd ever think that they're holding a future pastor? But I wonder who you're holding in the nursery or who you're teaching in preschool. Everything's important to God. I close. I've gotten all over this text in the last couple of weeks. Brother Ramers, it's also important. He tells us about spoons. What in the world? Spoons? You got to be kidding me. As I've gone through this and marked all 220 times, I find that something that they added, and this is important. Now you listen to this. That fir is important. That cedar is, those palms and palm trees, very important. It's all important to God. If it's important to God, let it be important to you. The things of God, the house of God. Let's stand together, please. Father, tonight I thank you for the people of God. I don't know. I hope this would speak to them like it has spoken to me. It's all important. Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And do it to the glory of God. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're going to school in just 10 days. Go to math class. Go to science class. Go to algebra class. Go to woodshop class. Go to a Bible class. Go to homiletics and hermeneutics. And go to whatever class you're going to in elementary and junior high and high school and college. Give your very best. Give your best. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's use this altar tonight. If you're here to be saved, come. If you're here to be baptized, come.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.